Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
In France, protests have paralysed services across the country and sparked a major domestic crisis over President Emmanuel Macron's pension reform that will raise the retirement age for most workers from 62 to 64. Demonstrations have become more violent since he forced the legislation through the National Assembly 2 weeks ago. On Tuesday, clashes erupted between protesters and police during the 10th day of nationwide demonstrations since mid-January. Well, as that chaos escalates, questions are now being asked about President Macron's willingness to resolve this crisis. To take a closer look at this, I'm joined on the line by journalist John Litchfield and also Professor Bruno Palier from the Centre for European Studies and Comparative Politics at Sciences Po University in Paris. And you're both very welcome to the programme. John, I want to start with you just to get the state of play this morning. I know more strikes are planned for next week, for next Thursday. There was a massive turnout, though, this week on Tuesday. It's a crisis that isn't going away anytime soon, it would seem.
Yes, and there's another day of action next Thursday. I think that's the 11th. The turnout last week was a little lower, or this week was a little lower than it had been in previous days. Not hugely lower, but 700,000 marching nationwide compared to 1 million in the previous demonstration. And the level of violence, fortunately, was not quite as serious as it had been the previous week. Mm-hmm. The strikes also are beginning to break down, I think. I mean, not break down, but beginning to fade. There are sort of strikes that go on every day, sort of open-ended strikes. But the support for the days of action is gradually fading. The dustbin strike in Paris, which has been very serious, is suspended for the time being because so few people were still striking. So it's giving, I suppose, Macron an opportunity to say, I can tough this out, I can reach the summer, and then it'll fade away. Whether that proved to be the case is not entirely clear.
Mm-hmm. And on the 14th of April, which is just 2 weeks away now, that's the day when it will be decided whether or not his controversial pension reform is constitutional. Do you expect that is going to be a flashpoint day, depending on how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, the Conseil Constitutionnel, which has some of the powers, to say the US Supreme Court has the power to check, has the duty to check new legislation to make sure it's not contrary to the French Constitution, is going to rule on that day. It's going to rule both on the contents of the pension reform, but also the way various constitutional weasels which Macron and his government used to push it through through Parliament, whether those are constitutional or not. There's only been one case in 60 or so years of the Conseil Constitutionnel completely rejecting a new law. So if it did that and decided it had a duty to try and defuse the situation, that would be quite a big event. I think more likely it might pick at the thing and throw out one or two bits and pieces, but overall approve it. Mm-hmm. And then it would be Macron to decide whether or not to sign or promulgate the law. That is the moment, I think, when he did that, when that might provoke another very strong reaction amongst the population.
And John, what's your assessment of what you've just told us about less people being on the streets this week compared to previous days of action? What do you think is going on?
It's been going on for 2 months now, Claire. I think, you know, there's exhaustion on all sides, and there is a sort of hardcore, absolutely determined to pursue the action, and there are today the sort of wildcat actions going on all over the country. Macron speaking on water policy down in the Alps, and there's a big demonstration against him down there. But I think that the troops of the unions are beginning to be exhausted. I think it's going to be difficult for them to keep up the action endlessly. At least Macron hopes that. But as you say, it's possible that if and when he actually signs a law, that would bring another explosion of anger. I think overall, we're in a period of kind of sullen standoff, and it's not clear where finally it's going to go. But there's no sign of Macron wanting to back down, and there's no sign of the unions giving up, or the left-wing parties who are leading this opposition to the pension reform giving up either.
John, thank you very much. John Litchfield, who's a journalist based in France. And as I said, Professor Bruno Palier is with us as well. And thank you for joining us. So it's a huge challenge for Emmanuel Macron. He's serving his second term in office now. How much political damage is this likely to do, and does he care, because he can't be elected again?
So you're right to have two different questions. The first one is that it's not likely to happen. It has happened, and there has been huge political damage to associated with both the content and the modalities of this reform. So the content is that this imposing French workers to work longer, and especially French low-skill workers, you know, employee, lower middle-class people, they are in situation either not to be at work anymore because they've been sacked because they are old, or to be still employed but under tough conditions that they cannot stand anymore. And this is what is at stake, is the opposition to the very idea of being forced to wait longer, not being in job, or to have to work under this condition. And to impose that to the people raised a strong opposition that the government probably didn't foresee much. But the modality, the fact that this will be, or this might be imposed despite demonstration, despite strong opinion polls, is already damaging a lot. It's damaging the government's capacity to find partners for having a majority in parliament. It's damaging the credibility of the government. And the group of parties that your colleague didn't mention is the extreme right party, because the left is not willing to yield, the union either, nor Macron, but there is a big winner already, we know, is the national rally, the Rassemblement National, who is opposing the reform without doing much, but who knows that those who are more likely to vote for them are these employees, workers, lower middle class. We know that this is general in Europe. And for instance, if you look at Brexit, those ones have voted more for Brexit than in any other ones. So they are more likely to vote with them. And the behavior of the government is feeding the anti-elitist feeling, right? You know, the government has been imposing whatever the population think. So this is really feeding the idea that the elite doesn't care of the population. And that's the very point about Macron. He says, you know, I will not be re-elected. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And this feeds an anti-elitist. And the government lied during the presentation of the reform, which is very bad for the trust in elite and government.
Can I ask you about pension reform and how contentious it is? Because in this country, we're talking about working until you're 68, and the reforms that you're looking at there will increase the age from 62 to 64. Now, there is a stereotype and a perception amongst Europeans, I'm sure you would admit this, that workers in France have it easy and they don't like to work. The statistics and the facts, though, Bruno, and I'm sure you'll tell us, do not bear that out. Explain.
Yes. So the first thing is that what is true is that you may say that we have less people at work. You know, the age workers are less present at the workplace, but it's not their fault. It's employers who don't want to keep them. You have higher rates of unemployment than anywhere else. This explains why those who work, they work harder than any other places, because you have fewer workers, so they have to work more. And if you look at data about productivity of the French people, they are high. So this is, I even call that hyper-productivity. So there has been a strange share of work in France, which is fewer people work, but they work harder. And their career is also more compact, you know. But on the pension system, I think that the comparisons are really biased. When you say 68 in Ireland, do you mean that everybody works until the age of 68?
No.
Of course not. No. A lot of people live before. So let me just finish that. In France, we have the same kind of age, 67. In France, you have to wait until 67 if you want to have a full pension, even if you didn't contribute enough. Mm-hmm. So we have this 67 to be compared to your 68. People live before in Ireland as much as in UK, as much as in Germany, as much as in France. In France, there is a second age, which is you cannot live before 62. And in Germany, you have the same thing. In Germany, you cannot live before 63. You cannot ask for a pension before 63. This is the reality of the rules. What makes a difference is the employment rate of the aged worker. And in France, employers don't want to keep them. They don't train them. They don't improve the working condition. They just get rid of them. That's the problem we have here in France. And government should have been aware of that and been working on that. And, you know, I keep saying that for ages and a lot of people, that the problem we have is employment rates of young people, of elderly people. But for that, for improving that, changing the rules of pension doesn't do much. What you have to do is really to improve training, to improve working condition, to give incentives to firm to keep the aged workers.
I read this strange thing as well, which you might explain to me, where researchers have attributed a toxic and hierarchical work culture in France, yes, that limits employees' growth and engagement. Explain that to me.
So the first point is that, you know, France is a very strange country which pretends to be egalitarian but likes to have chiefs. So, you know, we have a kind of republican monarchy. You know, there is a lot of power in the hand of the president, and actually everybody is waiting for his decision, you know, as if it was a kind of a king. And you find that in the firms too. You know, you have the training of the managers, etc., which bring them to believe that they know everything and shouldn't listen to the other one. You have also a kind of Marxist culture where the employers, the managers, considers the workers as kind of enemies and reciprocally. So you really have not the culture of co-decision, co-management, implication of workers, social democracy, if you wish. Or and Ireland discovered that, I think, 15 to 20 years ago, having tripartite agreements. We don't have this kind of political culture. Mm-hmm. Moreover, firms have been seeking to make savings of any kind to bring back their competitiveness. The thing of France is that we don't produce very high-quality goods. We are in the middle-range quality of production, either in services or in goods. Think of the cars we produce. This is more Clio than, high-range BMW, for instance. And the point is that since we have minimum wage, we have an expensive welfare state, there is an obsession to diminish the cost of production. And to diminish the cost of production, firms have really pressurized the cost of labor, trying to outsource as much as possible, trying to get rid of the most expensive one, the elderly one, and putting a lot of pressure on those who remain there. Okay. And one of the reasons is that they are obsessed with producing the same thing with less people, less cost, rather than improving the production.
What they're producing. Bruno, it's been fascinating to talk to you, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us today. That's Professor Bruno Palier. Now, we will be talking about work after the break, because most of us know how to do it, how to do a job, but do we know how to navigate our careers? Well, psychologist Sinead Brady will be telling us how to make the very best of our own professional lives. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.